Well, good morning, everybody. You know, I was talking with Robin a little bit yesterday. It went very well. And, one of the things that I assume when we're out in Texas, I mean, there was the body and the fellowship of Christ there, and it was a praise the Lord. And we have a body down here as well.
That's right.
You know, and we really need to be about His business. You know, one of the things I was talking to Robin about, and I shared with you guys Thursday, was the acceptance that I felt of Jesus Christ and His people and being a part of that body, and the acceptance where I found it was simply just me just realizing my inadequacies, just realizing my depravity, and that I'm nothing special. But that didn't matter. It didn't matter because the gospel of Jesus Christ trumps that. It absolutely trumps that. And that's the point, is that we need Him. And when we come to that place of just, we just utterly need Jesus, He's right there. You know, one of the things that we talked about was Jesus' love is complete. And His all His blessings are there. It's just a matter of us receiving that and accepting that. You know, and I know one of the things that, you know, the scripture comes to mind was, is God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I mean, just the point of just realizing who you are and that you need Jesus. And without Him, you're nothing. And you don't got a fighting chance.
Right.
That's when that acceptance came. Because He's good. He's real good. You know, we all have the testimonies in our lives of how good the Lord is. And it's usually at a back turn of something that we just utterly made a terrible situation out of. Where we let the enemy really have his work in our life. And we have resisted the Lord and His blessings. But yet when we humbled ourselves and we turned to Him, He glorified Himself in what He did. And we all have that testimony. I mean, we took a look at Hope. I mean, look, I go out and I get a girl knocked up and bring her to the ministry. And oh my goodness, scary situation, screwed up. More or less, you know, responsibility for myself was not even there. Now, Lord has blessed me with a family and it's going, oh my goodness. But, you know, I didn't think we were going to get married at the time. You know, I know the thing that I told Hope was, you know, hey, you know, I'm seeing you and you got a daughter, but, you know, if I'm leading you to a dead end road, I am, and I need to get back with the Lord and His people. And you can come if you want. You can come if you want. And she came. And then I found out she was pregnant. And then I was going, oh crap! Oh my goodness! Yeah, I didn't know how any of this was going to work out. But the Lord redeemed all that. And we turned to the Lord and we repented. We got married. We had a place, a brand new home. You know, I'm sitting there, we're married, we're living at Rick and Sue's. Let me tell you, the wrong way of doing things, absolutely just wrong. I'm married, living at Rick and Sue's. I don't have a place to stay for my family to take care of them. Or, well, really, the Lord was taking care of us. But yet then I get a brand new home. I was looking at renting. And the Lord supplied a brand new home. Far bigger than what I was looking at renting. Far better. Right down the street from my stepfather. I mean, the Lord is good. And He turned that messed up situation around to glorify Him. I'm nowhere to boast of any of this. And I had a guy come to me and say, you know, man, you know, at least you had a plan. You know, this guy over here, he's an idiot. Because there was a guy in the same situation that I was in. He's like, this guy here is an idiot. But man, you had a plan, Philip. Are you kidding me? No, I didn't. The only difference was that I turned to Jesus. And that was it. No difference between me and that other guy. And the Lord was good to me. And now it's a testimony that can reach out, that glorifies Him, and that can reach out to the other people. Of just how good the Lord is. But one thing that, if we're going to move forward in Christ, one thing that I've been thinking about was the body down here. You know, are we operating in that body? Are we operating in the line of authority that Jesus has set down here? But are there as yet division among us? You know, we talk about, we can go to 1 John, and he talks about, and I'll just turn there, and I'll just read it. You guys don't have to turn there. 1 John 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. He's talking about, these are the apostles here. That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This word fellowship here is a place where you, it's not just hanging out. It's actually in agreement with, standing together in. That's what this fellowship's about. That's what that fellowship is. And their fellowship is what? Truly with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, are we lining ourselves up with that fellowship and our hearts and our mind to do Thy will, O God? Jesus came down to do the will of the Father. And nothing else concerned Him but doing the will of the Father. And that's what we need to be about for us to come into that unity. Unto that perfect body is to line ourselves up with His way, His will, not our own. You know, I was sharing before with the inadequacies that I was having. And that's just one of those things where there was redemption in that, and where the Lord had taken that off is because I realized my inadequacies. I realized the places where I didn't fellowship in this Word, and I didn't line myself up with this Word. But I seen them. And when I seen them, the Lord took them off. I gave it to Him. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. But I want to go to Ephesians real quick. And you know, I say this because this is where, as far as down here, this is the place where I want to be heading to. Right here. Not just here, but across the board as a body. And the point of us getting together here as a body is that we can go and minister the same, that others may enter into His rest just as we have. But let us first enter into His rest so that we know how to operate and minister to those in need. Let's see here. Ephesians 4. Now, I don't have perfect understanding of this. But this is a very good chapter. It's Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering and forbearance, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We are all members of the body, amen?
Amen.
But let's line up ourselves with the purpose of His body. The purpose of doing His will. There's one will that we need to be attending to. And we need to be of that one accord. No matter what our positioning is in it. Whether it be the youth ministry. Whether it be the ministration of helps. Whether it's up here preaching. Whatever it may be. Prophesying, whatever. But being of that one mind, that one accord. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? You know, here triggers in my mind that, you know, Jesus Christ went to the cross and took the sin of the world. Then he went down to hell, took the keys of Satan, then came back up, put his blood on that altar, which is good for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The point of him going down to hell was he died that second death for us. That's what he did, so that we don't have to go. He took our sin and did it, and then was resurrected in power and went to his throne. He defeated it. And we don't have to be partaker of that second death. He's given us the way out. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have this line of authority for our goods. It says for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it's there for.
Right.
That vocation where he says walk worthy in the vocation where he called, that's job. And one of us, all of us are called to a certain position in here. Into one of these jobs. Are we going to be a part of that or are we not? You know, it's a choice that's before us. Are we going to enter in that rest, be a part of that body? Love God, love one another. I tell you, the biggest thing that's going to bring people out, what does Jesus say? He says, they will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. You know, when you're going to be a part of the body and you're going to get serious about Jesus Christ and doing His will, and nothing's more joyous than when you're entering in that rest, but it's going to be to love God and love one another. That's His will. And that's preferring one another over yourself. It's all about what you are going to be doing for the Lord and for others. We're talking about that unity. And being a part of a team doesn't mean what part of the team you're on or the importance of that position or any of those things. It's whatever it is. Youth ministry showed me a ton of things in that. Kids are fighting over the ball. I want the ball. You always get the ball. I don't want to be goalie. I want to be out there. I want to be goalie. I don't want you to be goalie. And blah, 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 blah. And this back and forth. And you know, that's how we are. Naturally, that's how we are. And so I look at that and it's the point that I seen was it was amazing. Who cares if you're the goalie? Who cares if you're just the one covering a wide receiver to block that ball down? Who cares if you're the quarterback throwing the ball? It doesn't matter. The matter is, what can I do for my team that will benefit to help make us move forward? You know, and that's a place where I want us to be diligently focusing on, is being part of that body. And what can you do for the Lord? What can you do for your team? And it simply boils down to love God, love one another. And that's a choice you make. That's the choice you make. And you know what? Nothing can hold you back except you and your doubts. I mean, nothing. If I'm not skillful, I'm not smart, I don't have a college degree, I didn't finish high school, I was never a contractor, I never built houses, I never was successful at anything, I'm a little crap head. I made many, many, many stupid decisions. Doesn't matter. Because we're not operating in ourselves and what we can do. We're operating in Jesus Christ and what He can do. Because He is perfectly adequate. What does the Scripture say? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So none of those things should hold us back. Shouldn't hold us back one bit. Because the Lord covered all that when He died on the cross. And He gave us liberty and freedom to serve Him and not be bondage to this flesh anymore. Or bondage to this world anymore. Our bondage to our own inadequacies. We're not in bondage to these things. The Lord's good. And He shows up. You know, that was the biggest thing. I was talking about when I was doing the floor. I said, okay, I made a choice to do the floor. Right? Let's take a drive. I used that one last week. I chose, Davey says, you need to fill the holes in this driveway. I said, okay, oh boy, all right. Alright, well, let's see what I can do. I find out where I find a load of rock. I find a load of rock, talk to the guy, and then he goes, man, how are you going to do this? Well, I got a shovel and wheelbarrow. I'm going to be shoveling this. I've got 5 days off, so I'm going to be doing this. That's how I'm going to do it. Well, what are you doing? Man, don't do that. Don't use up all your vacation time. I tell you what, I'll come down there with my skid steer, and I'll go ahead and fill all these holes up for you. I mean, it'll take me an hour and a half. Just have some Cokes. Okay, no problem. You know, come down Saturday, he's supposed to come over, his truck is in the shop, and oh boy, Brad gives me a call, he goes, well, maybe my father-in-law probably, he said he'll do it, and I said, okay, well then, praise God, but I need some help with some things, alright, so I go. What ends up happening is that Norm ends up showing up, and while we're at service, you know, I didn't even want to come at service, I wanted to be there if you needed any kind of help, and I said, well, I don't want to just leave you hanging out there. He goes, no, don't even worry about it. I'll be there in the morning. We'll get that taken care of. And he comes and he fills in the driveway. And the task was complete. You know, I didn't do anything there. The Lord showed up. I was commanded to do something and the Lord showed up. And that's an awesome thing. You know, and how many times in our life we're commanded to do something and the Lord just shows up with the ability. I got this floor I got to do. Okay, Lord, I don't know how to go about doing this. That's okay. He gives me somebody along. Okay, you start here. So I do that. Then come along to lay down the plywood. Oh, Lord, I really don't know how to do that. Lord brings somebody along and says, okay, here, this is how you want to do this. Philip, I'll help you. Get it covered. Then come down to laying a hardwood floor. Well, I don't know how to do that either. I'm not the right person for the job, apparently, right? Right? Not. But somebody shows up and starts showing me how to lay down the floor, and it was a blessing. We got the floor done. See, that's the Lord. That's how good He is. I have nowhere to boast of. I just made a choice to go and do it. And He showed up. Lord, I have a mess on my hands, man. I got... I brought in a girl and she was pregnant with my baby, and I don't... Lord, I'm irresponsible. Lord, I don't have a place to stay. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to take care of these guys. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Help me, Lord. I don't know what to do. He did. It was like He already had laid out a plan for all this. And I got far above I can ask or think. That's how good the Lord is. So when we talk about coming to that unity of faith, it's just all about how good the Lord is. Let's go choose to love God and love one another and keep His commandments and do His will. And it's not going to be based on how good you are or you're skillful you are or any of these things. And don't get me wrong, we all have, there's certain people that have sets of skills that are profitable to the ministry, and I praise God for it, and the Lord can use that. But their strength's not in themselves, it's in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the power of His blood. So when we come together and we start learning about Him and His ways, let's put off that old man. Amen. And let's be about His business. And let's line up with the Word of God. And make that choice that lines up with the Word of God. Even if it goes all against your intelligence and you're just thinking and you're going, that just doesn't make sense. Or when you're confronted with something that just really goes against you, you carnal man, that's there for to set yourself at liberty. Because we have apostles and prophets for the perfecting of the saints. Amen? And sometimes they tell us things that don't feel really good. But it's something that is in the way between you and the Lord. And they don't want it there. And the Lord puts those in place to get those idols out from among your face. So you can see the Lord. So even if it just grains against it, say, praise God, man. Apparently this is the case. You know, I'm wrong. You know, I'm wrong. And when the Word says something and you think something else, you're wrong, because His Word is true. Ours isn't. But lining yourself up with that authority, and we've talked about discipleship and things, I mean, that's what that's there for. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I want to see all of us in this room come to that unity of faith. Speaking the same thing, being of the same mind. So when people come along, when they get an answer from me, they get the same answer from Lisa and from Hope and from Paul. And not just the same answer, but the answer that comes from the Word of God. You know, I remember David was talking about where he says, you know, Lord, I want some more people. And He's like, well, why would I give You more people when the people you have ain't right? It'd be a hindrance to them. They haven't got over themselves yet. I know that's the biggest point. Love God, love one another. Let's be about that. Preaching the gospel. Bringing Him glory. That's what it's about. And they'll see our love for one another, and they'll see a difference. They'll see Jesus, not us. They'll see Jesus and His Word and His love working in us. Not that we're great or special or anything, but the Lord is good. And He loved us. He loves them. It's just a matter of they receiving that same love. With that, I'm going to wrap up.
Well, so we come back from Texas and have an opportunity to put stuff that we learned into practice. And what did we learn? We learned that we need to seek the Lord, that we need to love the brethren, and sow the seed, right? So, you know, how are we doing? I sit and, you know, I think to myself, how much time and effort we give to finding contentment, being happy in whatever our circumstances. I was reading a little bit in John, and you know, some of our attitudes aren't right. We can be happy in the Lord when we choose to be. And when our choices line up with His Word, let's look at John 13. Oh, I wanted to say 13:13, but this is going to be 13:12, I think. And Jesus has just washed their feet. And He says, so after He had washed their feet and taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you?" That's a good question. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Now, I don't know when his testimony to his disciples was ever any clearer than that. What I've done, I've shown you how to do it. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And everything He said and did was an example to them and an example for us. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his master." That service is not greater than his Lord. "Neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Duh. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Well, first off, are we doing them? And secondly, have we set our minds to be happy doing them? His Word says that this is what it takes to make you happy. Those who claim that they abide in Him ought also to walk as He walked. And He was pleased to do the bidding of His Father. He was pleased to speak the word of His Father. The right things don't please me. That's a shame on me. I suspect that everybody's listening to my voice has the same testimony. What are we going to do about that? You know, Lord, I think about David, and he says, "Lord, this heart's wrong, it's broken. Created me a clean heart. This one's dirty." That's what he does, and he's pleased to do it. I was going to go somewhere else, but I don't think so. I'm done.
The first thing is, God is good. I mean, every testimony that is given proves that. And when Phil was talking, and as he talks, because he says, he brings up similar things. But you know, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And so I really ask you, are you a sinner? That's who he came to save. And that's the starting point of salvation. And so when you get the testimony of what he did with a sinner, you see, that's the gospel. And if that isn't true for each of us, we don't know him. The fact that Phil can come up here and give a pretty extraordinary testimony of a sinner saved and delivered and blessed and brought into a new place by the power of God, that is every believer's testimony. It has to be. I know we looked at 2 Thessalonians in Texas. And it's kind of interesting to me because in 1 Thessalonians, he exhorts them to do that which they were already doing, and that was to love one another. In 2 Thessalonians, he tells them to do it even more fervently. Isn't that interesting? You know, and I know for myself, I don't stand because, I do everything right. Right? And so I know that the brethren has to choose to love me. Because that's what it's about. It's not that we are anything. It's a choice we make. And we stand by that very same choice. You know, when you talk, Phil, about the fact that you don't have any of the skill sets in any way. You don't have the education, so to speak. You're not a man of letters. You haven't been trained up in some great vocational skills that you can go out and do great things. That's how we all have to come. We don't come with what we have. We come to a God who has redeemed us, paid a price, and then is able to bring forth through us those things that glorify him and actually have the opportunity of bringing other people in. I mean, we have people right here, excuse me, Edmund, but isn't it a cool thing that God was able to save you? I mean, ain't that the coolest thing in the world? That's the same testimony I have. I was telling Phil last night that for me, the very fact of receiving anybody's love is completely contrary to me. It is something I literally have never received my whole life, and I am older than maybe everybody, but similar to a couple. I don't know how old you are, Terry. Doesn't matter, does it? And I had to make a choice, literally, to put that off. I had to make a choice to put that off. Now, each of us have different things. You're not me, I'm not you. But, you know, when I made that choice to put it off, just like when he made the choice to do the floor, he made the choice to do the driveway, or he made the choice to marry Hope and have Hope. Praise God.
She needed a lot of it.
But that's what Jesus is. I mean, we all should need a lot of it. Your testimony gives a good example, but all of us need the same amount of hope as you need, Phil. I mean, we're no different. We're no different. And so when you say he resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble, you know, until I was willing to receive the grace of God, it was there in many ways, but until I humbled myself, I couldn't receive it. So, I mean, if you don't know you're a sinner, and if you don't understand that he has literally done what it takes, and you step into it and receive it, but then you also stand in it and minister it. And that's where we have that fervent love one for another. But Thessalonians also says to separate yourself from the unruly. Not from the world, but those who claim Christ but won't submit. I mean, if we're to be like-minded, whose mind are we to have? Jesus's. That's a matter of being ruled, right? And how does he give us his mind? Well, he gave some apostles. You know, he gave you and me an apostle.
Amen.
But what are we supposed to do with that? We're supposed to do exactly as they have done for us and bring that unadulterated, pure word of God to others in love, in a fervent love. So praise God for your testimony, Phil. But every one of us should have the same knowledge of the same need and the same glorious grace that raised us up. Amen.
Amen.